preaching a little, but also reminiscing a little. And that's okay, right? The Hamptons, thank you so much. Always do a beautiful, beautiful job. Always love hearing them. I appreciate the choir, just everything. And so whenever I stand here, your mind just begins to reminisce. God has been good to us. So good to us. Far better than what we deserve. As a matter of fact, God's better to us than we are to ourselves. He's better to us. And I want to go ahead and address what everybody's thinking that remembers me when I was here. You know, used to, my Adam apple was about as big as my head. And so all those years ago, so I know what you're thinking. Y'all thinking, man, you got old. But there's a reason for that. Well, hey, brother, I didn't even see you earlier. There's a reason. The reason for why I look so old. Y'all heard of dogs, right? You know, you got a dog, somebody, how old's your dog? It'll be 2 years old. You'll say it's 14 years old. So I've aged in pastor years. Instead of dog years, it's pastor years. So I figure it's about twice what dogs are. So I'm 238 years old just in pastor years. And so for being 238 years old in pastor years, I'm getting around pretty good. But I can tell you, I'm just a nothing, just a nobody. But who I am, the pastor that I am, has a lot to do with this church. A lot to do with this church. Those that taught me, those that encouraged me, Preacher Kerrigan, investing. And so there's no doubt, that the church has had a tremendous, tremendous impact upon who I am and even the type of pastor that I am. And so you turn to Philippians chapter 3, very well-known passage of Scripture. But I do appreciate the biblical sound foundation that the Lord allowed me to begin here at this church. And so what a blessing it is. A lot of folks that stand on a lot of different thoughts and a lot of different ideas. But I'm grateful that we had the Word of God that we can look to, that can give us the strength that we need. And so we're going to read the whole chapter, Philippians chapter 3. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Wouldn't it be great if folks had that attitude? No confidence in the flesh. It says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh," Paul says, "I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect," he says, "but I follow after, if that I may apprehended that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Anybody going against Christ, that's the definite end. Whose God is their belly. We see so many in our world that that is their God. And whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation or our citizenship, you know the first person I heard say that? Preacher Kerrigan. It's our citizenship. Is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Lord, we bow before you. Just ask your blessing upon this message, this truth, your word. Lord, we know that we stand in great need of you every moment of every day. And Lord, we just call upon you, lean upon you, and trust in you in this moment. In your name we do pray. Amen. This chapter, a very powerful chapter, it reveals a joyous, watchful, holy, humble, effective, vibrant, focused, unified, actively present pursuit of God. You read through there, you find all those things that Paul is describing, pursuing after Christ. Pursuing after the one that gave his life so that we might live. And of course, we all are very familiar with verse 13 and verse 14. But we know that Paul had a deep desire. Do you notice the desire that Paul had? The strong, deep desire that Paul had for Christ. Look back at verse 8. He says, that I may win Christ. Verse 9, be found in him. Verse 10, that I may know him. Paul had a deep hunger, a deep desire to know God, to experience Christ. There's so few in our day that have that. So few that have that strong hunger for Almighty God. They hunger after so many other things in this world that they'll follow after and they'll pursue fleshly things and worldly things. But just imagine the church in America, how different it would be if God's people had a hunger for God, had a thirst for Him. And when they rose in the morning, they pursued and didn't let anything stand in their way to get to Christ. To serve Him, to know Him, to love Him, to be obedient to Him. So verse 13 and 14, we can forget some things in our past, but I'm glad that we can still fight in the present. Amen. He wants us to continue to fight in the present. Forgetting some of those things that are in the past and reaching forth, fighting in the present to accomplish what God has before us. You know, what did Paul want to put behind him? What did Paul want to put out of his mind? And that's what the words there mean. That he's forgetting there's some things that have taken place in his life that he's wanting to put out of his mind. I think one of those things is the persecution that he caused. But we know that whenever Jesus came on the scene, whenever Jesus gave his life, He died, he arose, he ascended, the church was established. Paul, among other Pharisees, did not understand what was going on. They did not fully comprehend what God was accomplishing. And so whenever the church began to grow, Paul was fighting against it. As a matter of fact, Stephen himself understood how serious Paul was at trying to stop that what he thought was a movement. Trying to stop what he thought was against God, was against the Old Testament, was against the law, didn't fully understand exactly what was going on. So I think it bothered him. I think he often thought maybe about Stephen. And that's it. You know, the Bible tells us whenever Stephen was stoned, Paul was standing there holding the raiments of those that were around, right? And so basically, whenever they got ready to stone Stephen, Paul was holding their coat saying, "Get him, boys. I'm the one that brought you here, and I'm behind all of this." And so Paul is there, and Paul mentions that, doesn't he, later on in the scripture, that he was there. So I think that was something that sort of bothered Paul. Aren't you glad we serve a God that forgives? I mean, every one of us here, there's things in our past that we're ashamed of. That there's things in our past that we have done that we knew were wrong when we done them. Aren't you glad that whenever God's people bow before a holy and just and almighty God and beg for forgiveness, God will give us that forgiveness. He'll forgive us. He tells us that he'll, well, you remember the phrase, as far as the east is from the west. But we still struggle with some of those things. God can forgive us, and we still can struggle with some of those things. I'm glad the Bible teaches us that when we're redeemed, those old things are passed away. Those old things are, and all things become new. That's enough to put a smile on our face and joy in our heart for every step of our journey. Knowing that the deeds in our past are forgiven. But I don't think that's all that Paul's talking about. You notice this chapter, what I just read, Paul is pointing out some of the works that he had accomplished when he was under the law. He said, "I was a Hebrew among the Hebrews." Concerning the law, he says, "I was blameless." You know how hard that would be? How difficult that would be to accomplish? Paul said, "As concerning all these rules and all this law," he says, "I was blameless." He said, "But I count all those things as dung." I think there's a lesson for the church in America there today. Because there's so many folks, and I'm not just talking about this church, I'm talking about, there are folks that are sitting in pews all across this nation this morning, and in their mind, they're going back to the days that they used to read their Bible. They're going back in their mind to the days that they used to witness. They're going back in their mind to the days that they used to pray. And they're living in that day, and they're not serving God in this day. I think there's so many in our nation that are living on what has been accomplished in the past and not serving God, not pursuing God in the present. God wants us to pursue Him daily. Crucify the flesh daily. Pursue Him daily. Rise up today. Rise up tomorrow. Rise up the next day. Serving, pursuing, hungering after our Lord. We don't ever get to a point where we've learned it all. We don't ever get to a point where we have accomplished it and where we sit down. And I know, just like I said, I'm getting older myself. There's some things that I can't do that I used to do. There's some activities when we get older and our bodies begin to wear out. Yes, there are some things that maybe we cannot do that we used to do, but we can still pursue. We can still pursue Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might, all of our mind, pursuing Him. And so here, Paul's laying aside all those things that have been accomplished in the past, all those deeds that have been done in the past, So he's not talking about forgetting everything. And I'm glad of that too. I'm glad that whenever we look back upon our life, I mean, God even taught the Israelites to remember. I mean, they celebrated the Passover continuously, didn't they? God had moved, God had worked, God had touched, God had manifested, God had delivered. And he taught them to look back and to celebrate his move, celebrate his power, celebrate his deliverance. So Paul wants us to put aside maybe some of the things that we've done, continue to pursue, but I'm glad that those things in the past that we can still celebrate. As thinking about Morning Star, and there's no doubt I could stand here too long and share too many memories about the past, but I'm grateful that God gives us a memory. I'm grateful that God allows us to look back upon certain things in our life and to find strength. Because life is tough. Life is tough. Every person here, if we took time, we could go through every life. And there's struggles, there's battles, there's difficulty, there's disappointment, there's pain, there's sorrow. There's always things in our life that are difficult. And I'm glad that God gives us a memory that we can look back. And so as I was thinking about some of the things in my past, being here as a teenager, an awkward, goofy, scrawny, I'm far from that too. But y'all took me in, loved me, encouraged me, strengthened me, taught me. I mean, there's a lot of things I could discuss. I'm not. I remember going all those youth trips up to Pigeon Forge. And for some reason, every night, we'd be in those, you know, we'd all go through, do whatever we're doing in the day. But some reason, at the end of the night, right before everybody went to bed, Bobby Jones would have a pocket full of coins. Have a pocket full of pennies. I'm not going to tell them how you got it, Bobby. And talk about, we mentioned this a minute ago about all the volleyball we used to play. I could tell some secrets on Shannon. I'm not going to. I mean, there's a lot of things. Miss Jenny, I was thinking about, I know you remember Jenny. I was a little boy and you was a little girl. Going to Carowinds. You remember riding those rides at Carowinds? I mean, just good memories. Wonderful memories. I'm glad that we can reach back into those. Find strength. Find joy. But as an adult, when you look back, sometimes you're like, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? You know, back then I loved NASCAR. I hadn't watched a NASCAR race in a long time. There was a couple of Kerrigans that fulfilled a dream. I was able to go to Charlotte years ago and sit in the suites, and I could watch the race through the glass, or I could watch it up on the TVs while I was sitting there eating the food they provided, looking at the T-shirt they gave me. I mean, that thanks to the elevator company, right? But thinking about that, my mind went to a day, and you know, back in those days, you had to have ESPN for most races, right? And so in Whitestone, they didn't have ESPN over in Whitestone, but it had ESPN in Packlet. And so there's a lot of times after church, I was invited to go to the Jones' house. And so go over there and watch the race, Roy, those type of things. But I remember looking back, there was one time the race was on. I wanted to watch it. Most likely I invited myself. I don't know, but I probably invited myself to their house, sitting back in Roy's recliner, watching the game. And the next thing I know, they had some things they had to do that day. The next thing I know, I'm sitting back on their couch and recliner, whatever, by myself. I'm in their house by myself watching NASCAR. What audacity I had. So I apologize. I just moved myself in, made myself at home, and oh well, I'm sorry, Jenny. I just moved in. But those memories are wonderful because it was accepted, strengthened, encouraged. Those type of things. I mean, what a God we serve. I mean, you realize what he's teaching? I mean, we can forget our mistakes. We can forget our rebellion once we receive that forgiveness. But he still lets us hold on to those good things. Still lets us hold on to those wonderful things. What a God we serve, folks. What a God we serve. I know my brother, I don't know where he gets. Is he still outside? Okay, he went to go get me water, and he must have went to Walmart, I don't know. But my brother, I told you I was going to preach a little bit and reminisce a little bit. That's what happens when you let somebody get in your pulpit. They just sort of take over. But when I was in the ninth grade, some of our guys, y'all remember the movie, Ricky Skaggs has already been mentioned, so I'll mention this movie, Red Dawn. Y'all remember, y'all ever watched Red Dawn? I wanted to see it. Just a ninth grade. My brother got up being nice one morning. We was on Christmas break. He had that old blue Jeep. Jumped in that Jeep and it was cold. I mean, it was cold that morning, cold. We jumped in that Jeep. I went to put my seatbelt on. You know, they just had that lap belt and it was froze. It was so cold I couldn't even put my seatbelt on. And so we jumped in, went to Spartanburg. You know, back then they had VHS tapes. I know you don't know what that is. But they put it in something called a VCR. And they had these stores you'd go into and you could rent them and take them home and watch them. That's hard to believe. Because now you just watch it on your phone. But my brother, being very kind, drove me to Spartanburg. They didn't have it in that rental store. So we jumped back in his Jeep. I went to put my seatbelt on, still froze. So there used to be one right down here in Packlet. So we went from Spartanburg all the way to Packlet, got out, and to be honest with you, I don't think they had it. I'd have to ask him, but went there, got back in the Jeep, went to put my seatbelt on, and I guess because we drove so long, it finally got warm enough that I was able to put my seatbelt on. We pulled out. Got right there in front of Hardee's, where the red light is, and there was a sweet, elderly lady that decided she wanted to pull out in front of us. And when she did, Randy hit, thankfully. I mean, that's just the grace of God. I had my seatbelt on. I tried to put it on all morning. My forehead cracked the windshield, and the dash broke my nose. And so in all that process, had to have surgery. What a God we serve. Had to have surgery. And you know how teenagers are. We don't always think right. I know you'll understand that one of these days, some of these young ones. But had my surgery, laid up on the couch over there in Whitestone, thinking nobody cared. It was a lie. Had a family, they cared, friends, but you know how it is. So laying there on the couch, two black eyes, because they went in and had to re-break my nose again to fix it. Laying on the couch, somebody's at the door. I mean, at that time, I mean, I was laying there in my mind, I was wrong, but I was laying there thinking nobody cares, nobody blah, blah, blah. Teenage boy in the ninth grade, and there's somebody at the door with a flower. From the youth group from Morning Star Baptist Church. I'm sure Debbie probably the one that done it. Don't know. That was God. Ministering to a boy in the ninth grade. And there's just so many memories that we have, right? Where God moves, where God touches, where God makes a difference. Paul, in this chapter, is wanting us as his people to pursue him. To pursue him. Pursue God. To pursue Christ. And I can tell you, all of us here understand it. He's worth it, isn't he? He's worth it. You think about all the money, all the time that's spent on entertainment, on sports, on sin. I mean, there's so much in our nation where folks are pursuing after the flesh. How important it is that God's people pursue after Him. Pursue after Him. How is your pursuit? You know, life is tough, as I said. And there's stressful activities that goes on at work. I mean, there's difficulty in our homes. I mean, you look at our world, you look at our society, and there's all those things. Our flesh rises up. The devil himself come against us. That there's things that interfere with our pursuit of Him. And it's so easy, if we're not careful, that we'll get our eyes off of Him and get our eyes on this world and get our eyes on our own self, our own desires. And so I want to remind us all this morning that in the present day, I'm not trying to be mean, but I don't care what you did last year for the Lord. I don't care what you did 5 years ago for the Lord. What are you doing now? Are you serving now? Are you praying now? Are you reading and studying now? There has to be a constant, steady pursuit of Christ and His Word. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why. Is because we are so easily deceived. We're so easily deceived. I was studying, y'all remember the parable, the sower and the seed, right? And the sower takes that seed, casts it out. Some of that seed lands on good soil. Some of it lands on rocky soil. I mean, it's got different places, and that the soil responds differently. But in that, there's one where it takes root. Whenever the sun comes up, I mean, it sprouts, it grows quickly, but then it dies off. And for some reason in my mind, whenever I read that, I thought that was a quick process. I thought that was describing someone that came to church, made a profession, they seemed to be doing good, and then in 2 weeks they were out doing the same thing they used to do. But I'm convinced now that that's not always a quick process. And I think the reason for that is because how blessed we are in the United States. That there are folks that can come in to Fingerville Baptist Church. There are folks that can come in to Morningstar Baptist Church. They can make a profession. They can sit on the pew. They can eat. I'll make you hungry. They can eat all this food at homecoming, and things are good and things are fine. And I mean, everything's going okay. And that goes on for weeks, months, and I've even said going for years. Because they're never confronted with their sin. They're never truly confronted with the evilness of their heart. And whenever someone finally gets through, and someone finally able to confront them with God's holy, inspired, infallible Word, instead of staying true and staying faithful, they walk away. It happens. I've seen it happen. I've seen those that have been in church, life going good, things are okay, but as soon as they are confronted with some sin that's in their life, they choose that sin over the Savior. And it's very possible, I'm not God, but it's very possible that really they was never saved. That they never truly surrendered. They never truly, because I can tell you now, for those that do believe, I'm far from perfect, preacher, far from perfect. But if you come to me today and say, "Preacher Andy, right here is what the Bible says and this is what you're doing," you're wrong. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, "I'm sorry." I mean, if you show me somewhere in my life that the Scripture contradicts what I'm doing, I'm not going to buck against you. I'm not going to fight against the Word. I'm going to be obedient. Those outside of God don't do that. But those that are lost, they'll walk away. That's why it's so important that we constantly pursue. How strong was Paul's pursuit? Paul's pursuit was very strong. If you look at these verses, there's something here. There's something here that's really pretty neat, pretty powerful. And there again, you know, this is something that Preacher Kerrigan taught me long. You know, one of the first things he taught me was the value and the importance of the Strong's Concordance. of looking at the words in God's Word. I mean, every word has been inspired by Him. Every word is important. And there's something here, if you read it too quick, and if you don't dig in, that you'll never see. And so here, let's look at this. Look at verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When you look at that word, press, and I'm not an expert in Hebrew, I'm not an expert in Greek, but I do got some dictionaries, and so they help me. And so that word press is D-I-O-K-O, according to Strong's Concordance, D-O-K-O. And it is a strong pressure, a pressure, that pressing down. And so whenever he says that he is pressed toward the mark, I would describe it as a strong, Holy Ghost-inspired, internal pressure to move forward, a pressure to continue to strive, continue to dig, continue to be what God has called him to be. And so there's that strong pressure. Now, how strong a pressure is it? If you look back at verse 6, it says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. As I've already mentioned, Stephen felt the full wrath of that zeal. Here was Paul marching, pushing, killing, trying to stop. I mean, he was determined. This is not going to happen on my watch. He was determined to do all that he could to stamp out the church. That word persecuting, you know what it is? It's the same as press. Dioko. And so the same energy that Paul was going around killing folks is the same energy that he has pursuing after Christ. That's pretty strong, isn't it? He uses it again when he speaks in verse 12. He says, not as though I have already attained, either were ready, already perfect. He says, but I follow. And so persecuting, dioko, follow, dioko, press. It's the same word. So just that pressure, and I can tell you, I feel that pressure, don't you? That pressure to serve Him, that pressure to seek Him, That pressure, that internal Holy Ghost-inspired desire, in spite of our faults, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our rebellion, we need to pursue Him. Need to pursue Him. Need to seek Him. Not be satisfied with anything but Him. And the only way we can do that is in His power. The only way that we can do that is with His help. And so, I know we're a good church. Just like it's already been mentioned, been established a long time. A lot of good things that have happened around Morningstar Baptist Church. And that's wonderful. But you still need to pursue Him today. You still need to pursue Him tomorrow. Don't allow all those things that's going on in your life, because there's always. I mean, you turn on the news, all the stuff that's going on in and around Israel, all the stuff that's going on. I mean, what goes on in Israel makes me look up, right? What's going on in our nation makes me sick to my stomach. I mean, all the sin that's just being promoted and pushed, I mean, it's just awful. And then you take all that and put it on what's going on in your life right now. I mean, there's so much that tries to keep us from pursuing Him, seeking Him, following Him, loving Him, desiring Him. And so that's my message for today. Reminding me, reminding you. Don't give up. Don't let up. You keep on searching. You keep on pushing. You keep on, because it's needed. There are folks outside these doors that are going to die and go to hell unless God's folks rise up. I mean, God has called us to be that light, God has called us to be that example. God has called us to make a difference. To make a difference. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. Everyone stand. Maybe the Holy Ghost has convicted you just a little this morning. Maybe there's some things going on in your life and you just need to bow before Him and say, God, I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm stressed out, but I want to keep on serving You. I want to keep on being faithful, but I need Your help. I need Your strength. I need Your grace. I need Your mercy. And you just may want to bow on this altar and just beg out, call out to God to give you what you need to keep on pursuing Him.